My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best. May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you!
Podcast. My name is David.
I'm Colin.
And my name is James. I just stuck right in there at the very beginning. You guys,
you know what? I guarantee you no one would have noticed anything, but you just had to say something. So
I just had to say something.
You just ruined the illusion. Cool.
And welcome back to another Tano Tuesday, part 7, penultimate episode of Ahsoka in T-minus less than 2 hours. So guys, how you feeling? What do you think we're going to see tonight, James?
I think we're going to see some crazy stuff.
Everything.
I think we're going to see the Night Witch's magic, or the Night Sister's magic in action, and it's going to be kind of terrifying. And I was telling David about this the other day. I said, if people aren't on board already with what's happening with Ahsoka and how they're introducing a bunch of stuff, you know, space whales, if you may. I think tonight people are going to be really weirded out by where Star Wars could possibly go. I mean, we're used to it. We've seen Clone Wars. We've seen Rebels. We've played Fallen Order and Survivor. So we understand that, but a lot of people haven't. So I have a feeling a lot of people are going to have a lot of questions by the end of this episode tonight. Yeah. That's my opinion. And I'm excited to see the moment where all hope seems lost, and then Ahsoka just like kind of just lands in the middle of the battle with her lightsabers drawn. Like, that's the image I'm waiting for. So we'll see how that happens. Yeah, but yeah, that's where I'm at right now with tonight's episode.
Colin, where's your head at?
I'm disappointed that we haven't got Max Rebo. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm getting off right now. Y'all have fun. I will talk to y'all later. Goodbye.
Oh, man, no. Honestly, this has been this show has been the weirder side of Star Wars. And I think what they were doing in The Mandalorian was great, but I think they were kind of missing things here and there that I think that a lot of Star Wars fans are missing, which is Star Wars is weird. That's the biggest thing, is like, if you went into the theater back in 1977 and you saw A New Hope and you saw the cantina scene, you're like, wow, there's a lot of weird aliens here. Some look like creatures that actually exist in real life, but I have no idea what's going on. And that's the beauty of Star Wars, is sometimes it's good to not know what's going on. So I think the people that are watching and they're like, ooh, space whales. Why is that a thing? It's like, I wish I had that feeling. Like, again, I love seeing familiar stuff. But the last episode that we got, that was a bunch of new stuff. And that was amazing, because I had that feeling of being like, ooh, this is Star Wars, but this is new. I haven't seen anything like this, really. There's a whole new species, a whole new planet, a new galaxy that has a whole thing of possibilities just waiting to happen. So I'm excited to see Ezra explore it, talk about it. Maybe he learned some new force tricks. There's so much potential for this new galaxy. I want to see more stuff about it. I think having the character Ezra back is remarkable. It's going to be awesome to see him in full scenes again. Seeing more with Shin and Baylan, kind of dealing with that whole thing, because this whole this whole series is feeling very biblical than what we've gotten in the past. And I think it's a hint at what we're going to get eventually, which I've talked about this, with the Dawn of the Jedi project that James Mangold is working on. And that's something that I'm very excited for. Yeah, because we are seeing different sides of the Force, because to us right here, I think Shin and Baylan are a fine example of that the light side is not, of the light side and dark side is not black and white. There's a lot of gray areas. And that's what they are symbolizing, in my opinion. And that's what they're going to talk about in the Dawn of the Jedi film when that comes out, because that's going to take place 26,000 years, way before, you know, the prequels, the originals, the sequels, all of it. And that's going to kind of explain why the light side is the light side and the dark side is the dark side, but they're going to have to get to that journey to kind of separate those two things. And Baylan and Shin are right in the middle of kind of, they're not great Jedi. That was made clear a long time ago that that's no longer canon. But I think that the beauty of the show is showing that not only does someone like Ahsoka struggle with being a Jedi in the light side, there are other people like her. And Shin and Baylan are just other fine examples of what that is. Because there's a line from Baylan of where he says, he says, I miss the idea of being a Jedi. He misses the idea, but he doesn't really miss of what it became. And I just want to dive more into that. And to me, that was a big hint of what we're getting in the future that will take place in the past, if that makes sense. So I think we're going to see more of that in tonight's episode. And I think we're definitely going to see more Thrawn, possibly Anakin flashback, because we know that Hayden's coming back one more time. I just don't know where it would fit in. But if not this episode, it's got to be the last episode. So who knows? But yeah. Oh, and the Solomari. That's my guess, is that we'll probably see his creature. The force eating lizard thing from Legends.
Yeah, we haven't seen Morai, which is very surprising. But going off of what James said, it feels like Ahsoka's going to drop in into a battle tonight. There was a clip earlier that was released that Star Wars didn't officially release on any of their social media, I don't think. I didn't see it on Facebook. I didn't see it on Instagram. But they do show a little bit of an action sequence. Very kind of continuing with the theme of Willow and those types of films. So it's going to be exciting to see. There's some funny type of like almost like prequel elements in there. But yeah, other than that, I have no idea what we're going to see tonight. I did hear someone mention that has a good track record that, not this episode, but the finale is going to have something in there that we're going to talk about for many, many months leading up to the next thing, if it's Acolyte, if it's Skeleton Crew, whatever. But before we go any further, I do want to recognize all of our awesome supporters on Patreon. We have on the purple tier, Darth Ace One, Liam McCallion, Texas Vader 76, Chris Simpson, Kevin Leininger, Devin McCaffrey, Drew Peters, Zach Netzel. On the red tier, we have Fenrir 526 and Maya Morris. On the black tier, we have Maka Talatala, Nathan Shank, and Evan O'Paker. Thank you so much for all your awesome love and support for the podcast. It has done so much good for doing certain things for the podcast, buying equipment, buying software, and making all of our swag for past and future celebrations here. And I'm really excited for Japan. A lot of us plan to go to be there. Yeah. So if you're going, give us a shout out here on the chat. Let us know if you'll be there. And also in the chat, drop in some questions, some comments. Let us know what you're thinking for tonight's episode. Huh? So I want to talk about some of the stuff that is very, very close to me. And some of the stuff I really love about Star Wars is the Easter eggs. So we talked about this before, but there is something like a kyber crystal type of thing in Shin Hati's Padawan braid that no one has really kind of focused on and talked about. But there's also another kyber crystal in plain sight that no one is really talking about either. And it's on Baylan Skull's belt buckle. If you look closely there, it's all the way at the bottom, that looks like that's his original kyber crystal from his general days as a Jedi general. What do you guys think about that?
For me, it just says what we've all kind of been thinking, which is Baylan, and especially Baylan, not so much Shin. I don't think he's telling her everything. I think he has a lot more going on than what he's letting us know. I think he's
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
He's doing something that we're at the very end, we're all going to be like, oh. Because why would you carry around your Kyber crystal? Why would you carry around your former green Kyber crystal? And then that's another thing, is that he didn't bleed his Kyber crystal red.
Yeah,
like and that's another thing that they do, is they bleed their Kyber crystals, which is why they turn red. He didn't do that with his. He took his out. What is it, David?
So apparently he didn't bleed the crystal that he has in his hilt currently. Mm-hmm. Apparently there's a special planet out there named like Kohler that has orange Kyber crystals. And apparently
that's right.
That's where they obtain those crystals for an orange blade.
I bet it's all a persona, man. He's doing something secret.
Yeah.
And so, unfortunately, he can't tell Shen, because Shen is still like, because you can tell she's like, what are we doing? What is happening? Why are we doing this? And he's like kind of giving her these cryptic things. And then what he said, like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, when he saw like the civilians there, you know, like the hunters there on that planet. And then I think he said, like, for now, as if it's like, they're going to help me find them. And then I'm going to kill these hunters, because I need to find Ezra. Ezra is the key to what I want to accomplish. And I think once he gets there, once Shen, Balin, Sabine, and Ezra all get together, he's going to be like, all right, this is what's going on. This is what I'm doing. Okay. And the question is Shen going to be on board, or is she going to be upset that he was kind of not using her, but just kind of bringing her along? So she's kind of the wild card when it comes to his plan. So, but it was really strange whenever it got pointed out that he has his full on green Kyber crystal on his belt. Like, that's why would you carry that?
So here's my theory, is that there was a line from the last episode of where it pretty much sounded like Balin was saying that he's tired of seeing one faction win and then an empire, you know, rises and then an empire falls and then something else comes to power. And he kind of wanted to end the cycle, is what it sounded like. So sounds like pretty much he wants to strike down Thrawn and to end that cycle. I don't think it's going to go the way that he wants it to, but I think that's going to be in the lines of what you're saying. I think this entire time he will have deceived everyone, and he goes up to Ezra and is like, hey, listen, this is the plan. I'm actually a good guy, but I need your help. And then it's, could you imagine if we had five people with lightsabers just going after Thrawn and the witches and everything? I think that would be crazy. Mm-hmm. But I think Shen will probably become a main antagonist. And I think maybe we might see her kill Balin, and then that will kind of lean her towards down the dark side. And then we see her blade actually turn red, because she will feel betrayed. I think that might be something that we will see, just because of, in Star Wars, they like to see things rhyme, and a betrayal from an apprentice to a master, you know, it's been done before. So I could definitely see it happening. And Shin kind of not knowing her place in the galaxy and knowing her place as a force wielder is a very dangerous thing. And to me, she seems very unstable because she has this power, but she doesn't know what to do with that power. So if she feels like Baylan betrays her, I don't think she'll just fall in line and be like, oh yeah, I think she might become unhinged and she might unleash that wrath on Sabine, Ahsoka, Ezra, including Baylan. And Baylan dying, that might happen. So, yeah.
Sorry. So what you're saying is Shin might be coming back for another project, is what you're saying.
Probably.
Okay. Probably. That's all. That's fine. That's fine.
But, I know that's what you're hoping for.
I was just kidding. But it's what's really crazy is where this plot in this timeline, and not timeline, I should say, but this other galaxy, Thrawn, everything, how this blends into the sequel trilogy. Is it going to blend into the sequel trilogy at all? I mean, I think that's what's really fascinating about the moment they said there's another galaxy, we're going to be going somewhere else. Kind of just said, let Mando, let all of that lead to the sequel trilogy. Ahsoka's storyline doesn't have to do anything with that, and we can have Ahsoka have her own journey over here. So I guess my question is, do you think Thrawn's journey, Ahsoka's journey, Sabine's journey, Ezra's journey has anything to do with the sequel trilogy? Or do you think this is purely standing alone, a jumping off point for a new whole saga, if you may?
I think this is kind of being its own thing. And I think that we'll see, I mean, because again, in The Mandalorian, we have seen hints of the sequel trilogy. We have seen a cloning facility that, and there was someone in a pod that did look like, you know, a Snoke variant. And then also you have the Praetorian guards that did show up in the last season of The Mandalorian that just came out. So I think we're getting hints in there, like hints from here and there.
Oh, yeah,
and
then
we saw General Hux's dad too. So it's just like it's there, it's happening. Yeah. But I think because we got that 30-year gap, I think this is gonna feel like its own kind of Star Wars trilogy. I mean, not trilogy, but like kind of it's like a big old Star Wars like kind of universe. Because you've got the prequels, you got the original trilogy, and then you got the sequels. I don't know what we would really call the Mandalorian timeline. And then like Book of Boba and Ahsoka, I really wouldn't know what to call that. So if you guys...
Called the Favaloniverse.
Yeah, the Favaloniverse is what we can call it.
Because that's going to be something that will come down the line of where like, okay, we got the original trilogy, we got the prequels, we got the sequels, and then we got the sequels to the sequels, like, if that makes sense. So,
yeah.
Someone come up with a name.
I really hope this Ahsoka, Ezra, Sabine verse, if you may, stays over there. Okay. I think I would prefer that more if that's the plot, if they stay in this other galaxy, and then we start to explore that galaxy.
That'd be pretty cool.
Because I don't know, it feels like they introduced something really great in Star Wars. It feels like they introduced something incredible that we've all been wanting to see. We got it, and it would just be a shame if next week's episode they end up just coming right back. You know, that's what I don't want to happen. I want to see where this journey goes on this other galaxy. I mean, am I the only one who thinks that, or?
Well, as much as I want what you have of what you're saying, you have to think about this has to have Thrawn coming back to the OG galaxy. This has to, because
but does he though?
Well, you've got Hera and them stranded there. So how will the New Republic be able to retaliate against something? The whole point of this is that Thrawn's coming back to take over the galaxy that we know. If we do another show of where they go out and explore this new galaxy, I'm all for it. We just got the announcement that the third game is in active development right now from Cameron Monahue, who plays, who plays Cal Kestis. So that's being in the works right now. So you know what? They could probably explore that whole galaxy in that game too. I would be fine with that. But right now, Thrawn is coming back. Thrawn is coming back to the original galaxy that we love and know, and that's the threat. If he stays in the galaxy that they are currently in the show, in the new one, to me, that's like, okay, he's taking over this galaxy that we really don't know. The bigger threat would be of him coming back and then him trying to take a whole fleet to Coruscant and take over Coruscant. Seeing another battle in Coruscant, imagine that. Of where it's not just in space, but in the city. And we've seen this giant city battle with X-Wings and TIE fighters. Imagine that happening in the Dave Filoni movie. Like, that would be completely insane. And that would make everyone so happy at the same time. But I think they have to go back to the original galaxy. And then maybe they explore the new galaxy in a different show. Maybe Skeleton Crew, you know, and ends up going there and somehow they get there. Who knows? But I don't think they need to do that in these last two episodes. We need to focus on the plot going forward. And staying in this new galaxy, as of right now, is fine, but that's not really going to help the plot go forward if Hera and them can't find their way to the planet. Because
Hera's not there. Hera's still here in our current galaxy.
Yeah, I know.
She didn't go, so she's not stranded anywhere.
Well, yeah, I meant like Hera's not going to be able to get there because she has no way to help them. So right now, Ahsoka is the only real reinforcements for Sabine and Ezra. There's no other reinforcements coming. So if they just stay in that galaxy, Thrawn has nothing to conquer. To me, that's kind of boring because the whole anticipation is Thrawn coming back, right? Thrawn is coming back to the original galaxy to take over it. If they stay in that new galaxy, there's no real threat.
I see what you're saying, Colin.
Yeah.
But it's a TV show and they got a limited budget. I don't think they're going to fly back to Coruscant and have like a huge battle type thing. Maybe that'll lead into the Filoni movie.
I did say that. I did say the Dave Filoni movie. I wasn't saying the TV show that we would see that in the Dave Filoni movie.
Yeah, but I think they're going to be stranded in Prydia or this new galaxy. And I think that's where we're going to stay. But, I mean, don't know. But that would make sense to me budget-wise. And I think we're going to get something really, really interesting tonight and really interesting next episode. So, but I just think of TV budgets the whole time. I don't think we're going to get any type of huge battle. That'd be great if we did. That'd be a huge shocker. But I think we're going to stay in this galaxy for better, for worse.
I think the show is going to end with Thrawn coming back and maybe Ahsoka and them are stranding in the other galaxy. But I think Thrawn will come back to.
Right. It might end like that, but we're not going to see like any like big culminative battle.
I didn't say we were going to see that in this. I said that we would see that in the Dave Filoni movie, but I just don't think that Thrawn staying in that galaxy really makes sense to me. I think Thrawn will make it back. That is basically what I was trying to say. It just doesn't make sense for this whole show anticipating the return of Thrawn for him not to return. To me, that's kind of like, okay, that's like, all right, you know, we've been leading up to this, but actually it's not actually happening. It is kind of like the thing in WandaVision where like, oh my gosh, wow, it's Quicksilver, but then it's some guy and it's not Quicksilver and it's no X-Men tie-in.
Well, I don't think Dave Filoni would make that same mistake that Marvel did.
Sounds like that's what you want, James. You want them to explore like the new galaxy is what it sounds to me. And
I think that's more interesting.
I like the idea of Thrawn being chased further into this galaxy.
Yeah.
And them like for me, going to this new galaxy introduced a whole lot of great potential. And I don't want it to be one of those. Well, maybe, I mean, you know, like you said, maybe in a video game they go back. I'm like, no, I think they need to stay there. I think Mando, Boba Fett, you know, the you know, Hera and all that, that we've all come to love and everything, that story and that plot line can continue there in the current galaxy. But I would much rather have a whole other adventure happen in this other place. And then eventually they come back, because the big question, of course, is how come Ezra or Ahsoka or Sabine don't help at all during the rise and the reign of the First Order? Right. Where are they during the entire reign of the First Order?
Don't do that. Do not. What do you mean? No, they don't need to be involved in that.
Why not?
That is a whole, because of the moment that you add. So yes, we know the ghost was in the Battle of Exegol and stuff. That's fine. That's totally fine. But leave this as its own thing. I really don't want to full it tie in like that. I think they will come back. It makes no sense for the return of Thrawn to have him not return. To me, if Thrawn doesn't return back to the galaxy, like to the original galaxy at the end of this show, I think to me, I will be very disappointed, because the whole anticipation of season 3 of Mando was, oh my gosh, Thrawn is returning. They even talked about his return, right? And then you have this entire show of Ahsoka leading up to finding Ezra and having Thrawn return. Thrawn is returning. That's the point of the show. If you have him stay in this new galaxy and you just have them chasing him through this new galaxy, to me, that's like, okay, you're just doing it to explore new planets. No offense, but I don't want Star Wars to be Star Trek. I don't need that.
Keep going.
Okay. It, to me, it makes sense for Thrawn to return. That's the whole point of this, is to have an Empire Strikes Back ending where something bad happens, Thrawn returns, and we're like, oh my gosh. And then you have the other Star Wars shows like Skeleton Crew, of where you hear like, ooh, Thrawn has returned, blah, 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 blah. You know, you have to be careful, beware. Thrawn is the next Thanos. If you keep the next Thanos in hiding, and well, not hiding, but just kind of in the other galaxy, to me, that doesn't make sense. You have to have him return at the end of the show. That's the whole point of this. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
The whole point of the show is to stop Thrawn and to find Ezra.
But
is Ahsoka's. That is their purpose, is to stop Thrawn. So for me, it makes sense if he can't get back, but then he does some more stuff over there.
No.
Liam asked, how are you finding that people who haven't watched the animated stuff are enjoying Ahsoka? I'm finding they don't like it. I haven't really talked to anybody who hasn't watched Rebels before watching this. I know my wife and I are currently watching Rebels right now, and even she has been like, wow, I'm glad I'm watching this, because the first episode, I found out who people were, but then watching Rebels just makes it even better, you know, that you know people's relationships and everything. What about you, David and Colin? Have you spoken to anybody who hasn't watched Rebels and they're watching Ahsoka right now?
So all the old head people I know aren't even watching. They don't even like care. They don't even know what's going on. So they're not even a factor. They're not even asking me questions about anything. So I don't know.
I was going to say, I think, between Book of Boba Fett, between, Kenobi and the final season of Mando 3, I think a lot of people are kind of off Star Wars right now, the Disney Plus shows. So I think when this one came out, people were just like, oh, it's just going to be another one of those shows. So I think a lot of people are not going back and watching Ahsoka, but they might now that they, you know, we're seeing pictures of, you know, Hayden Christensen all over the place. So it's just one of those things.
I definitely think that having Hayden come back as Anakin was definitely a hook for a lot of people. But for the most part, from the people that I've talked to, I have a friend, his name's Jack. I know David's talked to him and met him a couple of times, but he's never seen Rebels. And he called me the other day and told me that he's not wrong most of the time, but this was one of the times where he was wrong, because he thought that Ahsoka was going to be a show where you had to know everything about Rebels and Clone Wars going in. But he said that he has enjoyed it a lot, not knowing that much about Star Wars Rebels or Clone Wars. And he said that this is one of his favorite shows. And I think it's because with The Mandalorian, it's really interesting because of the show is very plot driven. With The Mandalorian, you definitely have your kind of, hey, we're just going to go and do this thing for this episode, and then we'll get back to the plot. Every single episode of the Ahsoka show has been plot driven. And I don't think we're straying away from that. Even in this last episode, I think this episode will definitely be plot driven as well. So that's the big difference between all the other shows, is that it doesn't feel like there's any side quests or anything. This is 100% plot driven, and that's okay with me. And I think that's what really draws people in, is when you have the next episode happening next week that you are anticipating and you are, you know, excited for it to see what happens, because the last episode you watch maybe left on a cliffhanger. With The Mandalorian and The Book of Boba Fett, you were just like, okay, is there going to be another flashback sequence of where Bubba goes back into the back to tank and he's having a flashback, like what's going on? So with Ahsoka, it's cliffhanger, Thrawn's back, this is what's happening, let's go forward. So I think that's the big difference between this and The Mandalorian, and I think that's why a lot of people are more drawn into Ahsoka, just because there's more plot driven episodes in this than the other shows.
Yeah, I agree, because I know David says no, but there were a few moments. There were a few moments of Mando where, like, where it ended, and where the next episode started, we were kind of like, why aren't we just going directly into the plot that we were thinking about? You know what I mean? Like, there was a few moments in Mando where I was like, okay, I get it, I get this whole episode, like the Jack Black and Lizzo episode, which was great, entertaining, but the plot of that episode didn't come out until the very finale, where she fought Bo-Katan fought, and then she ended up, and it was almost, and it kind of hurt watching that episode, because I was like, that could have been the episode. The last 10 minutes was the episode, because then that's when she takes up the dark saber and they all go, yeah. And I felt it was a huge wasted moment for that. And I was real, and yeah, we got to see droids, we got to see battle droids, it was cool, but that's what I agree with Colin there, that this show Ahsoka is just saying, this is the story where we are following all these characters. But I will say, I think having watched Rebels makes it a little easier to grasp and to follow, but that's my opinion. I think because we watched everything before the moment it starts, we're just like invested into what's happening. But yeah, I think this is better than Mando, but we haven't seen all of it. I guess that's another good question. Is this better than all the other Disney Plus shows, or how do y'all feel about that? What do you think, David?
I think for me, Mandalorian season one is still pretty high up there. Then the follow-up season two, I think, is still above what Ahsoka is, in a way, but Ahsoka is really, really good. But it has a lot of support off of Rebels.
Yes.
So they don't have to have a lot of setup per se. Kind of like The Mandalorian, we had no idea what the tone was going to be. They just said he was a lone gunfighter in the outer reaches, bounty hunter, which was great. They followed through with that. Ahsoka, we all assumed this was going to be Rebel season 5, which technically it kind of has been, even though Filoni said no. And we kind of got the gray Jedi concept, but Filoni and Lucas say no such thing. And then we got Thrawn, we got Ezra back sooner than we expected. These past two episodes are pretty much like the two episodes from the Book of Boba Fett when we got Mando and Grogu. Like, almost. Although the episode previous to the second from the last we got with the dog fighting was really good. I watched that several times and was thoroughly entertained. So it's hard to say what Ahsoka is up to this point. Like you stated, that we're not done with it yet. We still got two more episodes tonight and next week. And I'm hearing that next week's episode, it's going to make us talk for a while. So are we going to get Anakin back somehow? But there are other theories out there, a lot of wild speculation now that with possibly bringing back undead, maybe we get like an Asajj Ventress thing going on, maybe a Maul thing going on. All that's kind of on the table with the magic stuff.
I don't think bringing Darth Maul back is a good idea. I mean, I want it, but that having him come back for the third time in a row would just be like, all right, man. Like, yeah, having him stay dead to me, just, I think we should let the character be.
Well, he would be dead. He'd be undead.
But he was buried on Tatooine.
Right. But he has connections to the Night Mothers, the Night Sisters. His mother was a Night Witch. Almost like a...
Anything's possible when you bring in magic.
Yeah, like a representation of them, and they just choose that image. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
We don't know what's in those boxes either. Everyone's assuming they're corpses.
Yeah.
They have to be corpses, because they're shaped like corpses.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Somebody on YouTube said best Star Wars show is Andor, then Ahsoka.
Okay.
I kind of have to agree with that statement. Just saying, I think Andor and Ahsoka are kind of the best Star Wars shows currently, the Disney Plus universe Star Wars show that we have. But I think Andor was the best out of all of them. That's just my opinion. Someone said, in relation to other Disney Plus shows, Ahsoka will go down next to WandaVision, Loki as the goats of the platform. I'd say Loki over WandaVision.
Oh yeah.
I'll take Loki over WandaVision. Yeah. I'll take anything over WandaVision any day. I thought WandaVision was a huge disappointment.
I cannot get over the whole Quicksilver thing. I think that was my biggest thing about the about the whole show. It was like, ooh, X-Men, and then it was like, nope.
Well, no, absolutely not. David and I, of course, had discussions about this. The other thing that made me laugh hysterically about WandaVision, I know we shouldn't be talking about WandaVision, was the fact that the creators were like, we were confused that people thought we were bringing in the X-Men. That was never our intention. And it was like, you guys are the dumbest creators I've ever heard in my life. And then there was an episode of WandaVision. David knows all this, because Dave, I went on a rant about this the other day. There's an episode of WandaVision where she kicks Monica out, and then Vision's like, where's Monica? And she's like, oh, she doesn't belong here. And then in the next episode, when they did the previously on, the same moment came up, and she says, oh, she had to go somewhere else. And it was like, oh, she's editing her own show. She's editing what you should be listening to versus what she said. Come to find out, they're like, oh, that was a mistake. We fixed it, though. I was like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. You guys suck so much. But anyway, Azoth, whose appearance? Love me some Lovecraft. Is this a character we don't know?
Yeah, the big creature from Loki.
Yeah, I see. And then Loki is the best Marvel show.
No, guys, no.
So let's talk about Loki here. I'm just kidding.
We're
getting back to Star Wars.
Leave us with this theory. If it comes true, I will flip out and I will call David halfway through the episode, and I'll probably bring James to the call. But imagine if, because Thrawn goes to the witches and was like, hey, I need your powers because I'm trying to come up with something. Imagine.
Don't do it.
I'm just saying, imagine if we get a kind of force projection of Anakin, and then we have him like kind of go into like zombie mode, or it's more of like he just like goes full out Order 66 again. Darth Vader Anakin comes in, but it's not really Anakin because they're using the
magic.
Yeah. So I think that's a possibility. And then seeing him interact with other characters besides Ahsoka would be pretty cool. that would also be a great way to bring him in. I mean, I would be heartbroken because it's just like, no, I don't want to see that again. But also, it'd be cool to see. But then the other thing contradicting is we just got a big moment with Anakin. And I don't know if we need to see that again in the same show so close to what happened. But
yeah, I'm fine not seeing Anakin in another episode. I think what we got was amazing. One of the best episodes in all of Star Wars. But I don't think we should get him again. Oh, Liam has a great question, which I always end up asking is how long is that was quick. Oh, Maka asked the question. How long is this week's episode? Sorry about that, Liam. I'll get to your question.
David?
Yeah, David, how long is this week's episode?
It's going to be longer than 30 minutes.
You don't know. We don't know.
I have no idea.
You always know.
But that's a big deal, though, if David. That means no one's leaked the time. Like, no one probably has seen this about episode. That.
Yeah. 2 hours and 34 minutes.
That'd be the best. Okay, Liam agrees with me. Sorry, I didn't mean to confuse that earlier. But yeah, I don't think we're going to see Anakin again.
I think we
in
will.
In this episode.
Okay.
Yeah. Show, I should say, not.
I think we'll get him one more time. I think we will, because there's a whole line from one of the first trailers that we got for Ahsoka. Like, it was a teaser trailer. And it's where we kind of hear Anakin kind of prepping Ahsoka for a battle for the Clone Wars. So I think we will see him again. Someone said, yeah, could there be Obi-Wan and Anakin scene helping Ahsoka? That would be cool. Having maybe Force Anakin and Force Obi-Wan. But, oh, my gosh. Could you imagine? Oh, so good. 45 minutes.
Just like I said, longer than 30.
Oh my gosh, David, get out of here.
He wasn't wrong.
Of what he was saying was true.
From a certain point of view. I think we'll get any more Kanan references.
Absolutely.
I think there's going to be a moment in this episode where Ezra and Sabine are talking, and I think they're going to bring up Kanan. So yeah, I think we're definitely going to get a Kanan reference. And that's another thing, though, is are we going to get a Kanan flashback? Are we going to get a Kanan appearance somehow? Are we going to hear his voice? I mean, that'd be pretty crazy. We heard Kanan's voice talking.
Freddie Prinze Jr., man, I would flip out if we got some type of Force ghost or flashback with him. I would be like, that's insane, because there's so much stuff that happened with Freddie Prinze Jr. behind the scenes. So it's like the last thing that's on my mind. It's like, ooh, I would love that, but it's a pipe dream. I don't think we'll see that. So if we got that, that would be sick. Just like how I was during the new Indiana Jones, I was like, man, it would be great to see Mutt Williams, but probably not going to happen just because Shia LaBeouf. So
it's Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah. So we'll see.
So he has Andrew's saying Knights of the Old Republic had some amazing things that they could possibly bring into Star Wars, which, and as we know, Disney and Lucasfilm officially announced like 3 weeks ago that the Old Republic is now officially a part of the Star Wars timeline. So I think it was just a matter of time before Knights of the Old Republic started to make its way into the canon of Star Wars. Because I think when Disney bought Lucasfilm, there was too much. I think they needed to find a way to kind of start over, and then we'll slowly start seeing more Knights of the Old Republic stuff coming in. Although Maka, David, does say that line could be cut, though, the Anakin line about preparing for battle could be cut just like they did with Hulk in Infinity War. So, possibility. And, yep, let's bring Freddy in. Yeah, I don't know. Like Colin was saying, I think Freddie Prinze Jr. has done a lot of crazy stuff lately. So, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to want to bring him back. But we'll see. We'll see. He's kind of ridiculous. All right. So 45 minutes of an episode. And I will say this, last week episode felt long, even though it wasn't long. There was so much happening in that episode that I was like, this is awesome. This is great. I'm digging it. I actually prefer last week's episode to episode 5. I think I liked episode 6 more than I did episode 5. Only because the story progressed as opposed to episode 5, where it was kind of just great. It was amazing. But I really just wanted to find Ezra, and I felt that moment was great, what I was waiting for. And there's this TikToker on TikTok. She would every day post a video, how many days it's been since we've seen Ezra. And she would always say, just so you know, it's been 2,000 blah, blah, blah days since we've seen Ezra. And she would always put a post-it note. And then last week, she was like crying. She's like, it's been 0 days since Ezra was, we haven't seen him. We saw him finally. And that was a big moment seeing Ezra. And part of me is like, you don't have to watch Rebels. But that moment was much more powerful having watched Rebels and seen the journey. Like, if anybody just popped in, they would be like, oh, they found the guy that they were looking for. That's cool. If you watched Rebels, that moment made you cry because it was a moment. You were just anticipating, like, Sabine's walking through looking, and you're just like, where is he? Where is he? Is he here? Is he not here? And when you hear his voice, you're just like, oh my gosh. Like, I legit had tears in my eyes, and because I was like, holy crap, we finally found him after all this time. Think Ezra goes dark. No, I don't want that. That's going to be a major disappointment.
I'm so, yeah. Well, Josh had the theory that Ezra was going to be that Sith Inquisitor.
Everybody thought.
I'm so glad that was like so far away from what actually happened, just because it's Ezra. Like, he is a Jedi. He is clearly a Jedi. And having him go back to like his whole journey from, again, I'm not going to bring up The Last Jedi, but it's just like, it is like, to me, that would have been going back to the beginning and changing the character. And we didn't need to do that again. Let Ezra's journey continue, not have him go backwards. That makes no sense to me. So I'm glad that he didn't, you know, become a Sith Inquisitor, and instead Marak was just a Night Sister thing. Because we saw the green light kind of fog come out of
Marak. So here's a theory that's been popping. And yeah, everybody, if you're watching, drop us some questions. Please. Could Thrawn be after the Zepho technology to help him defeat Force-sensitive people and rule that way? I know Palpatine was after that, and so were the Dathomir people. I've been hearing this. I've been hearing a lot of the Zepho angle, because apparently the writing behind them, it's the same writing as the Zepho. So,
which is insane, by the way.
Which is beyond insane. Come on, tell it what it is. It'd be freaking ridiculous if that happened, because it's crazy. It is crazy if we start bringing in the Zepho. But part of me is like, man, we're already in another galaxy. We're already doing some crazy stuff. Why not bring in the Zepho? We already introduced them. They were a major plot point in Jedi Fallen Order. So yeah. Bringing in the Zepho and their culture would be insane, but also not too crazy for what the show is doing with Ahsoka. And this is, I like this question. Do you think Hera will end up before like a prosecution, like going to trial? I want to see that. And I want to see Leia. I want to see Senator Organa there. I think that would be something really cool. And I think that's a good excuse to have Leia there.
Yeah.
Hearing her name was pretty cool, but I would like to see Leia. I think that'd be pretty great.
Could you imagine of this episode of just like of how we have hyped it up about being like, ooh, like Thrawn and Baylan, and then we just get a whole episode of Hera being on trial like over in Coruscant of being like, do you plead guilty? And it's just like, what?
Like, here's my counter argument to that, and this sounds kind of rude. I believe Filoni is smarter than Favreau, because that sounds like a Favreau thing he would do, where he would go like, let's go watch this, even though we left you at a really good moment in Mando, let's go do this now.
Yeah.
Filoni is, I think, telling the story, and he's like, we're doing what we're doing. Well, I called before to David. I said, I don't think we're going to see Ahsoka. We did see her in the last episode, but in my mind, I knew it's going to be strictly Sabine, strictly, you know, all of that. And it was. Yeah, I can't see them stopping the whole plot and being like, let's go watch Hera. But if we do get that, I hope it's like we cut back and forth, not like we just spend the whole episode. I've seen this a lot, and Liam just brought it up. I thought the meeting between Ezra and Sabine was a bit of a letdown. They built how much she wanted to find him. She does, and played it cool with a hug. Yeah, I was wondering if we were going to get like a scream, not a scream. What am I talking about? We're going to get like a moment, but I think they did it well. I think that subtle push in on her face while she was looking at him and smiling. And I think that kind of adds to it, because I feel like Sabine is trying to play it cool. I think she's like, I can't let him know. I can't, you know, show that. I think she really, really, really cares about Ezra more than we know. And so I think she was like, I got to play this cool. But then also you got to remember Sabine messed up why she's there. Like why she's there.
Yeah.
Is a huge problem. And so I don't think she wants to kind of bring that up. I sent them that message this last week where it was like, Ezra, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're here. I can't wait to go home. And Sabine's like,
listen.
So about that,
I
messed up big time.
I really want the beginning of this episode to feel like the end of the first Tom Holland Spider-Man movie, of where Tom Holland is just standing there and then Aunt May like walks behind him. She's what the? Because Ezra finding out moment, everything, of just being like, are you crazy? Like, son of a Bantha, what are you doing? Why are you here? Why would you do this? Like, that would be so funny, of just Ezra like flipping out. And she's like, but you were so calm. I'm like, you just put the whole galaxy in jeopardy. What is wrong with you? Like, I would be laughing so hard.
Yeah, this. I think his whole argument is going to be, I would have rather if you left me here than threaten everything we fought for in the past. But yeah, that's going to be a great moment. And now, Colin, if that doesn't happen, I'm going to be really disappointed, because that sounds like a great way to start the episode of just like exterior of the huts, of the, you know, the huts where they're staying. Yeah. And you see those little creatures walking, and then, what? And then they all look over, and then we cut inside, and she's like, "Will you see?" And he's like, "No." Yeah, that's going to be awesome. Imagine all of us thinking this way about Anakin.
If the prequels said come first. Oh, okay.
Do you think we'll get Zeb and Kallus this episode?
Oh, I really, really want Kallus to come in. I really do. I'm just curious of who that cast as him. I know that Kurt Russell's son was fan cast.
Wyatt Russell. Well,
yeah. Like a while ago. And honestly, I think that would be great. And Zeb, not seeing Zeb in the episode of where in episode 4 of where they actually go and save where they try and go and help Ahsoka and Sabine. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a wasted opportunity, because we saw Zeb with Carson in season 3 of The Mandalorian, which again, I think a lot of us are still trying to wrap the head like our heads around the timeline of Mando and Ahsoka, just because season 3 of Mando is technically happening during the same time as Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Which I think I saw a video the other day of where someone was like, that episode of where we see Grogu and Mando going through Purgles, hyperspace and then the Purgles is the same time that Ahsoka is on her way to go see Ezra.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, cause if you look, one of them is slightly much bigger than the others. So it's like, oh, that's a possibility.
Yeah.
I was going to say, what's that guy's name? Powell. Thought he was in Top Gun Maverick and he's from Texas. What's that guy's name?
Glenn Powell.
Glenn Powell. I can see Glenn Powell playing, a Kallus. I could have met that guy, but that's a whole other funny story. that was a fun night. That was a fun night. Anyways, it's a Hera B plot. Would simultaneously show Hera's dichotomy between the Republic and her duty to doing the right thing. Will Baylan save? Okay. So like you would have the Hera plot happening, and then you'd have this plot happening, and they're both fighting for the same thing. Yeah, I can see that. I just don't want a whole episode. I don't want this entire plot line to stop and then we just go with Hera. Like, I don't want to see that. Is Sabine turning bad since her helmet has red in the opening sequence, or are they just playing it as a joke, like a Ralph? No, she's not going bad. I don't think Sabine's going bad. Rumor is we might see 3PO. Yeah, I mean, like I said, if we get the whole Hera, you know, having to stand before, you know, trial and everything, you have to bring in R2's with Luke, but yeah, 3PO can pop up. You know, there's so many people that can pop up during this.
Yeah.
During this moment, I mean, and what's so great is the images from these last three episodes. I mean, Thrawn was there, but we have no idea. We haven't seen a single frame from these two episodes that are about to drop. So
yes, we have.
What was it?
Yeah.
There was like a TV guide. It's kind of weird, but they released a video of an action TV sequence. Guide release. Yeah, I think, and then it caught on, and ILM just released it, and it's on Rotten Tomatoes now. It's a scene.
Oh, can I see it? Yeah. Can we watch it?
Yeah, we could try and watch it. Let me try and find it so I can put it up here. Because it wasn't on YouTube. It wasn't on the Star Wars official channel.
Yeah, I was going to say, they didn't post anything on Instagram. Neither Lucasfilm nor Disney posted anything on Instagram. So
Yeah,
I'm not seeing it.
And that's amazing. That TV Guide is like, hey, dude, we're still going, man.
We've had that conversation before, James, right?
What about the what?
We talked about TV Guide, like how it's still a thing. How it's like a big thing in the 90s.
Oh, the 90s, that was a big deal. Every Sunday, you get the newspaper, and there's the TV Guide. And you go through, and you look at the – and you go to the supermarket, and there's the little magazine there you can buy. It has all – anyway.
Colin's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Colin's like, I've never – I have no idea what you guys
are. What are you guys talking about? I'm the same age as you.
There were whole articles in the TV Guide. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they did full-on art – like,
you read it for the articles, yeah.
Everything.
And I think I do remember that. But I think it was phasing out as like.
How old are you again, Colin?
13.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I was gonna say.
I am 27.
You're not the same age as us. Calm down.
You're a little bit younger. It was a joke, James. I know you are older than me.
Okay, you don't have to go that far. Right. Hey, pump the brakes.
Okay. Colin was indeed born in the 1900s.
Yeah, but Colin
1996
is that generation that grew up with the prequels. And so that's a fun generation, because y'all got to see it all unfold, and then you got to jump on Clone Wars right after that.
Yes.
Us, David and I, were kind of like, it's a cartoon. Who cares about a cartoon? You know what I mean? Like, we were
Yeah. Because I was 3 when The Phantom Menace came out, and actually do remember going. So
what the hell?
Yep. And and then Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith both fell on the same weekend as my birthday, so I felt like it was like a birthday celebration. It was fantastic.
Listeners, let us know how old you were when episode 1 came out, and we'll have a fun little game.
So apparently this is
footage.
Yep. You ready?
Yes. Oh. What?
Okay. Nice. I've got questions.
Oh.
Yes, the slingshot.
That's charming. Any real weapons?
They're peaceful people.
Peaceful? Fine. You didn't mention defenseless.
Okay. Wow. All right. That's a whole... What? What? That was amazing. That looks awesome.
Cool. And it comes out in about half an hour.
So Andrew asked, and thank you for joining us, Andrew, by the way. Thank you for all your comments. And everyone else, thank you for whatever you're watching, wherever you're watching us. Thank you so much for listening. And what do you think is Thrawn's true objective? Never seen Rebels. Is he rebuilding the Empire, seeking his own rule, or fighting to unify against an infallible threat? That last one seems like a big... it's hinting that there is something bigger that they're freaking out about. What that is, I don't know. It's not. Oh, chimney. Okay, but no, I think it's the last one, Andrew. I think something bigger is happening, and he's trying to get out. And he's trying to get back to the universe that we all know. Yeah, so something bigger is out there, and of I believe in some of like the early stuff, like the early Disney books, Palpatine had been saying there is something else out in the far reaches of the galaxy. There's another threat. And I believe we all felt that was Snoke. I think we all felt, what are you raising your hand about?
Because I think, again, this would be crazy, but and this is something that Josh and I have talked about in the past, but if they could bring in the, I am going to butcher the crap out of this name.
Yuuzhan Vong.
Yes. Thank you. The, how do you say it?
Yuuzhan Vong.
Yuuzhan Vong. That would be a great way to kind of bring in a bigger threat. If you played Halo, think of them as the Flood.
Okay.
They're very similar to that, and they just want to infect the galaxy. Imagine having a species like that come in, and then you're just like, ooh, Thrawn's bad, but this is a lot worse.
They're like xenomorphs. I'm all for it. That sounds amazing. Yeah. So we got some ages here. Josh was 7 when The Phantom Menace came out. Okay. Tyler was 3. Okay. So same age
as you.
Liam was 12. And 3. Definitely a prequel.
Let's go.
I was
72.
I was 72. No, I was 9. When episode 1 came out.
Okay.
I had just turned what the hell am I talking about? I was 10. I was 10 when that came out. So I was 10 years old.
How dare you?
I know I messed up. And then I ran into an old friend of mine. I haven't seen her since high school, and she messaged me on Facebook, and she's like, "You haven't changed." I was like, "Yeah, no, I haven't." She's like, "You're still into Star Wars?" I'm like, "Yeah, nothing's."
Mom, it's like, not a phase.
Yeah, I know. I kept telling my mother that. I was like, I know, Mom, you were hoping it was going to be a phase. I never grew out of it.
That's what my parents thought too. They were just like, oh, it's just like when he was into Thomas the Tank Engine. It'll go away. It will be fine. And then, you know, here I am, 27 years old. I have a Death Star wall behind me. That was like the first thing I built.
Which is amazing, by the way.
Thank you. I'm still adding to it. So I'm very excited to show you guys, you know, and the next couple of weeks of what we got planned.
I was 2 years old when the most underrated Star Wars movie got dropped. I think he's talking about Attack of the Clones.
I think he's talking about... Actually, no. The only one that I can think that's underrated... Oh, Noah, you can't leave us on a cliffhanger, man. You have to put the entire thing in there. What are you doing?
Yeah, don't. This isn't a mystery time. Come on, man. We're all having a great time here. Come on. But
you're already waiting for this episode. I don't need to wait for you to tell me what movie's underrated. Now I'm curious. Come on.
I did a little thing on TikTok about your favorite Star Wars movies. Not your favorite Star Wars movies, but just like which you prefer, and like it's just a fun little game. Yeah. I got so much hate for that, and I was just really shocked that people
Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace. Heck yeah. I love the Phantom Menace.
Do you know how much I like had to bite my tongue when you sent that to me? I was like, oh man.
But here's here's the thing. We can have different opinions.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But you can't, like, I'm not saying you, but like other people are like, never trust what this guy says. And I'm like, in the end, and I even commented, I was like, hey, I got to Empire Strikes Back because we can all agree that that's probably the best of the whole saga, as well as maybe one of the best movies ever made, period. And so it was just really, I was like man, and it kind of hurt my feelings, you know, but at the same time I'm like, yeah, everyone has their own little opinion about it. But and I said in the end it's Star Wars. In the end, if they come up and they say, hey, we're re-releasing, you know, name Star, like, I don't know, you know, a Phantom Menace back in theaters, I'm like, I'm going to go watch Phantom Menace in theaters again. Oh. We're going to re-release Attack of the Clones. I'm going to go watch it. I wonder if the new threat is going to be the threat that Rey faces in her movie. It seems odd to have a follow-up movie without a war. Yeah, you really need that war in Star Wars in order. And I know a lot of us are like wondering what is this thing that Rey and her and the new Jedi Order will be going up against? And we all know Mando is getting ready for The Force Awakens, like everything's leading to The Force Awakens. So why not Ahsoka leading into this other series? So that's a good point. I haven't even thought about that, actually. I've been kind of just thinking that whatever's happening with Ahsoka is its own thing. But yeah, now I'm kind of excited about that. That better be the plot. If not, I'm gonna be really disappointed now. That doesn't happen. Yeah. What do you think, David? So, I mean, at this point, anything is a possibility with Star Wars. Once we went to this other place, anything can happen now.
Yeah, that's the beauty. Being in a new galaxy, all these new creatures, all these new environments. And I love the environment of Peridia. I thought it was unique and cool. It felt like a throwback to like 80s Willow type. I was happy about it. Some people didn't like it. Some people were pointing out that just looks like California. And I'm like, well, it doesn't to me. I'm from Texas. So it looked very spacey to me. So I loved it. So there's another Easter egg here I want to talk about.
Uh-oh.
So going back, and this is one you really had to zoom in on. You had to like pause the video, zoom in, and you see a list of classic Star Wars characters.
I've heard about this.
On Baylan Skull's like comm pad, if you look closely there, it says Luke, Leia, Han, Chewie, R2-D2, C-3PO, and Ben on it. So do you think this is just like an Easter egg type thing, or does this have merit? Does this mean something?
Man.
I mean, Leia normally... Okay, so Dave Filoni, to me, doesn't just put something in there just to do it. I think most of the time, maybe 97% of the time, if he puts something into a project, he has a reason behind it. A lot of people thought that The World Between Worlds was just going to be there. And it was just for that thing. But then we saw it again in this last episode of Ahsoka. So I don't think that he's just going to put something in there just to, you know, kind of be like, ooh, look at this. But well, that's just my opinion.
Then again, we saw the Ark of the Covenant in
Clone Wars.
I'm just messing with you. That was a great. That was a funny moment. I remember I had to pause it and like zoom in. And I was like, "Get the hell out of here!" There's no way they have the Ark of the Covenant here.
There was also the Staff of Ra in one of the episodes too, because of one of the main senators actually uses it, and then Jar Jar takes his staff when that senator dies, and he puts it on his gravestone. And he's like, "Oh, okay, cool."
I love it. So maybe a kill list for Baylan. They are all dangerous.
Yeah. C-3PO, you're going down, man.
Yeah, 3PO on there down. Is really funny though. Like, wouldn't that be great if 3PO was on the top of the list? We're like, oh man, he must have pissed him off bad. You know, like if he's like, I'm killing this droid first. I don't care who. But Ben is kind of the curveball to that list. Yeah. Who is he referring to? Is he already born?
Or Ben Solo?
No, that's what I'm saying. Is Ben Solo already has he been born already?
Let's do the math.
Yeah.
So maybe he wants to kill a baby before maybe he knows what's going to happen. The rise of, and that's it. Because then once Ben rises and once everything happens, we just go right back into the cycle that he wants to avoid. So holy crap.
Maybe Baylan saw somehow he saw the future and he saw, you know, you're right that maybe he saw the rise of the First Order and all that stuff. So because the Mandalorian takes place 5 years after the events of Return of the Jedi, probably a couple of years have passed since the first season of Mando. So we're kind of getting up there. So likely
he'd be like three or four years old or something,
Something in the lines of that. But could you imagine if we saw a baby of Ben Solo, and then maybe we saw like Leia like holding him at some point, like through, oh man, I would be like, oh my gosh, it's Ben Solo. This is crazy.
That'd be great. And Josh, yes, at the beginning of the episode, David was very eager and he just dropped it right away at the beginning of the episode. Yes, Baylan does have a green kyber crystal on his belt buckle. And that just brings up so many questions and theories as to why he still has it. What do you think Baylan is training Shin for to break the cycle? Is he already compromised? Would he use the rounds of his master? I think, yeah, it's really shocking he hasn't told Shin his plan yet. Because, like I said, it seems like she's still figuring out what in the world is happening. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It would be kind of crazy if in the next, like in the movie, Shin is the top villain of that story. If she becomes the overall villain, maybe the night sisters give her like a lot of power. So, okay.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Before we go on, users, you can also jump in here, please. In Return of the Jedi, Yoda tells Luke, "When gone am I, the last of the Jedi you will be."
Don't start this up again.
I just want to know. I want to know, is Dave Filoni flipping around trying the craziest way to make that line make sense? Or is the answer there and I'm just dumb and I can't figure out why, like what Yoda meant by that?
Well, they had to retcon a lot of things because of when that was filmed, Ahsoka didn't exist. Ezra didn't exist. Cal Kestis didn't exist. All these other surviving Jedi didn't exist when they filmed that.
That's a hell of a thing to retcon.
I'm just saying,
Star Wars like that. I can't see Dave Filoni. Dave Filoni messing with that line.
Maybe Yoda was trying to hide their identities. Maybe he was trying to be secretive because maybe that wasn't his secret to tell. So to Luke, that's why it was like, oh, okay, you know, that's why he didn't tell Luke. But then you have other kind of things to back it up, because is Ahsoka actually a Jedi? Not necessarily anymore. Is Cal Kestis a Jedi? We don't know if he's even alive, but also if he is, maybe something happens in the third game that kind of steers him away and he kind of becomes his own thing. Is Ezra still a Jedi? Is he? He's been in hiding for a long time. So those are the theories that I guess you could kind of talk about of maybe these people aren't really Jedi anymore.
David?
I think there's a few schools of thought on that line. Last of the Jedi UB, maybe Yoda said that to put the emphasis on Luke to get the job done. He knew that Leia was out there too. She was the other, but she wasn't going to be trained, and that was the issue. There's no one to train that he knew of that was out there for that mission. So Luke was like their only hope. He was the last hope. And Jedi is not just a singular word; it's also a plural word.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just one of those things. I mean, it's and you can attribute it to them not knowing that the stories were going to continue and that these shows were going to happen. But yeah, it's you could see it as a bit of a retcon. But I mean, there's ways around it. Just like how we all thought that Obi-Wan and Darth Vader didn't meet since Mustafar, and then we saw them in the Obi-Wan show fighting. I think it's that kind of thing. I mean, there's ways around certain things, you know, just like how I mentioned if Maul shows up tonight. It's not really Maul, but it is Maul, you know?
Yeah.
It's that type of thing that we might be seeing, which is a surprise. It's a shocking thing you can have in the show and you can kind of explain it. And I always tell people now, if something doesn't make sense in Star Wars, they'll make it make sense later on in the future. And they'll see it in a comic book or a novel or a TV show or a film. It'll all kind of make sense, just like the exhaust port on the Death Star. They made it all make sense in Rogue One. That is the point of Rogue One. So
yeah,
Oh, and Colin had to jump off. Sorry about that, everybody. Yeah, I always just go back to that line in Revenge of the Sith whenever Grievous meets Anakin for the first time, and he's like, "Oh, you're much taller than I expected." And you're like, "Oh, they didn't meet during the Clone Wars?" And then they had to do 7 seasons of the Clone Wars where Grievous and Anakin did not meet. And that's amazing. And that's what I'm thinking is Filoni is figuring out, how do I get this line that George Lucas said to make sense? Even though now we have all these other things happening.
Right.
How do we support the channel? Yes, we do have a Patreon. If you want to drop that link there at the bottom, David, so they can see. Yeah, we have a Patreon. David and I try to meet up once a week or a few times a week, and we just talk. We just chat about Star Wars, and we have a great time. Feel free to check us out there on Patreon there. Yeah, we have a lot of fun.
And we are very relaxed on those episodes. James more so than me.
Very relaxed. Yes, yeah, very relaxed. And if you're a patron, you know exactly what David's talking about. It could show how wrong the Jedi were. They all lean on their own. Yeah, that's another one. And even Luke calls that out in The Last Jedi, which I was really shocked that they brought that up. And it's true. You watch you see everything from the High Republic, and you see this is what the Jedi stood for. And then once the Clone Wars begins, they completely shift their kind of viewpoint over what their job is in the galaxy, which ultimately leads to their downfall. And it's kind of crazy. It is really crazy. Maybe 4 decades in the future, they'll get there eventually. I always felt Anakin should have beaten Obi-Wan since he was conflicted to let Obi-Wan live. Oh, you're talking about in the Kenobi series. That would have been an interesting twist, but I think they wanted Obi-Wan to find his calling, if you may, and to come back stronger than he was at the beginning of the episode. Maybe Yoda knew that if Luke was aware of other Jedi, he would put more concentration on finding them to help him instead of taking on Vader alone, which Yoda knew. Oh, okay, I see. So Yoda was like, "I got to tell this guy that it's just you." And I love the fact that no, there is another. Meant somebody completely different, not Leia, and you know, it just makes you think of what could have been. So yeah, how far away are we? We are 14 minutes away from the next episode, and I am excited. And who is the director of this episode?
The director of this episode is Geeta Patel. This is her right here.
And this is their first Star Wars project.
I believe so, yes. But she's directed stuff like House of the Dragon.
Yeah, directed a lot of things. Yeah.
She's accomplished. I think she's going to do a great job. And I'm super excited for it. Yeah. I love it when they bring in these new directors. And then usually they do a really good job. I don't know how Filoni and crew do it, but they bring in some awesome directors. Yeah. So
I still think Steph Green should have directed multiple episodes for Ahsoka. I thought she was going to, but and then Famuyiwa finishes it off. But he's not writing this episode. He's just going to direct it. Correct.
Right. Filoni wrote all the Ahsoka episodes. Okay. So I'm pretty sure you heard this, James, but apparently there's a tentative deal to come to an agreement to stop the writer strike. And yes, who was there on strike today for the actor strike that's still ongoing, where no deal has been tentatively reached like the writer strike, but Pedro Pascal is showing his support for his fellow actors there. So,
and they're right across the street, I think, from me right now.
Turn the camera, James, and show us all the pictures.
I'd have to go out the window, but you could see the Netflix building over there. I just got this report from the Hollywood Reporter. Writers Guild strike to end Wednesday. So they figured it out. So before it was tentative, next Wednesday the writer strike will officially end,
technically 12:01 a.m. right?
Yep. Yeah. And so that's exciting. So that means a lot of these projects are going to start going into pre-production. From what I heard,
Tyga's going to turn in some scripts.
Tyga's going to hopefully turn in his freaking Star Wars script.
But
well,
yeah,
apparently he had. There was like an inside source saying that he turned in like 3 or 4, but he has another new draft that he needs to turn in. So at 12:01, Kathleen Kennedy will have it in her mailbox.
Yeah, I wonder how. I wonder what other script she's gonna have in her. In her mailbox that day. But it is exciting, and from what I've heard, once the writers go in, then the actors will then follow, because they work in tandem, the writers and the actors, thankfully. At least somebody likes the writers. And so I think they said once that happens, then the discussions for the actors are going to start. Right. And so once that happens, then we're in, you know,
maybe all before October, which would be great.
That would be horrific. Oh, come on.
So the big rumor is that Kathleen Kennedy is leaving Lucasfilm by the end of the year at some point. At first, they were like, okay, after Dial of Destiny. Didn't happen. I guess we're technically after Dial of Destiny, but people are saying August. But now it seems like this is maybe her swan song. I mean, you would figure she'd want to retire and like enjoy her money, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, she's up there in age now.
Yeah, she's not.
Unless this is like what she loves to do, is being the president of Lucasfilm, which...
I mean, she's been doing this since 1980, you know, being on movies, helping out with movies. I could see her retiring, but I don't think she'll be retiring for the reason people think. I don't think she's going to be leaving because no one likes her. I think she's going to be leaving because she wants to just kind of live out the rest of her days. But she's hiring, bringing in Favreau, bringing in Filoni, putting Filoni as the head of the executive creator of Lucasfilm is incredible. And I'm wondering who else she's going to try to bring up in the ranks. And I think, and again, I always laugh and I always joke, if something is going right with Star Wars, it's always Favreau or Filoni's. But if it goes wrong, it's immediately Kathleen Kennedy's fault. And it's like, it doesn't quite work that way. If it goes wrong, it's the whole team. If it goes right, it's the whole team. So that's my opinion. I know David probably disagrees with me, but
no, I mean, I definitely see that a lot. She won't get the praise, but she'll get all the blame.
Yeah, she gets all the blame. And I'm like, you realize that she has to hire these people. Like, you realize she has to be the one to grab this crew and bring the crew together to make whatever there is. If it turns out bad, that's the writing. That's the style of it. She did her part of bringing it all together to give that director what they needed for the project. And her protege could be Bryce Dallas Howard. Yeah. I don't know. What makes me nervous about that is I want Bryce Dallas Howard to keep making movies, keep making projects. Once you're the head of the head of everything, that kind of stops, because now your focus is on something else completely, which is why I like that Dave Filoni is where he is. I like that he's involved in overseeing the creative part of Star Wars and not overall Lucasfilm. Because I feel like
Filoni was only doing Star Wars, before Bryce Dallas Howard was in Spider-Man, Jurassic Park, directing, she was in Black Mirror. I mean, she had her hands in so many different spots, working for M. Night Shyamalan multiple times. I mean, she's been doing a lot, and she's part of Hollywood royalty as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, she's proven herself in Star Wars. So,
oh heck yeah,
she wanted to do something Star Wars related. She definitely can do pretty much whatever she wants. And especially, I think, I don't want to be sexist here, but I do think that Kathleen Kennedy does look for females more so. So I think she has that in as well. I think she especially wants female voices and female leads, which I'm not against. As long as it's good, I'm totally fine with it.
As long as you give us a good story, I don't care about who is the hero or not. I mean, I just want a really, really great story. Favreau should be president. And yeah, we talked about this. Diego Luna to produce, bring the writer from Andor and Diego Luna.
Favreau's like, kind of the same way. I think he wants to maybe leave eventually and maybe do other things possibly. But I think right now Favreau's still kind of maybe leaving that honeymoon period where he kind of had his breakout thing, his cultural experience that was Grogu in The Mandalorian. And now the honeymoon is kind of like ending in a way, it seems like. So he might leave, but I mean, he's that rock for Filoni. You know, Filoni leans on him to create, to do this stuff in live action, which has worked out. It's been a great partnership. And I think he still needs to be there for Filoni for at least this movie. And maybe Favreau moves on. But we don't know what Favreau wants to do. He is older, too. We don't know if he maybe might want to be the successor to some other studio. I mean, it could be Marvel if Feige wants to leave. Feige and Favreau could flip-flop. I mean, there's that.
Crazy if that happened.
It's like, it would be like a sports trade.
But, you know, Favreau is amazing. Favreau's a filmmaker.
And
same
an
with Filoni
and a writer
and an actor and a writer. And what I was saying with Filoni and Favreau is they do what they do amazingly well. Right. So for me, it's like, I think that's what they want to keep doing. Like Favreau at some point is going to say, okay, I'm going to leave because I want to go make my own movies now. Filoni saying, I want to just keep making what I want to make. Being the president of a company is going to it changes all of that for you. You don't have that same freedom just to do that. And I think leaving Favreau where he is, leaving Filoni where he, especially Filoni where he is a great thing. And I'm just curious to see what Kennedy does. And like I said, I've never been like mad at Kennedy for anything. I've never hated her. Like I said, if she leaves, I'm pretty sure it's going to be on her own terms, and it's because she wants to go maybe do something else, maybe go back and producing with her husband. They had a very, very successful studio that he still runs. So yeah, I mean, I wonder who she would bring in to take over the Lucasfilm.
I think they have to bring in a type that kind of understands the lore, understands Filoni's spot and what he means to Star Wars.
Yes.
And like Jorge says, or I think it's Revocraft. They said the fabric content is good. I don't want to lose Rogue One. You got to understand that Tony Gilroy stuff, the grittiness of Rogue One and Andor, that has its place and it works in Star Wars.
Yes.
You have to bring in someone that kind of just understands what's working and what the people want. Like a David type, like a James type.
Yeah, like an S type.
Just assign those checks to everyone and be like, yeah, that's great. Just keep on doing that.
Yep.
And have their ear to the fans and know that, yeah, okay, this is what they want. Let's give them that. This is what this group of fans want. Give them that. Okay, we're giving Old Republic, Rogue One. Let's do Rogue Two with the Bothans. Manny Bothan shows up. So
Manny Well, on that awesome note, we're about 4 minutes out, so we better get off of here. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on our pre-show. This was awesome. I'm glad we had a lot of you watching. Great conversations. We're about to jump off to go watch the episode now, but we're going to be on afterward for our post-show breakdown. So just look for the link on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. We're going to be back after the episode, and hopefully our minds are blown after this. Are you excited, David?
I'm so excited.
I am beyond excited. but yeah, I guess we better end this so everybody can go. That's why, and honestly, guys, don't tell Colin this, and I'm going to tell you this. That's why he left, because he was like, I got to go make food before Ahsoka starts. And if you notice, he was doing this. He was like, I'm out. And he just left because he had to go make some dinner.
So. Yeah, join us for the post show.
Yes,
thanks for all the questions, guys. They were terrific. And we'll see you after the episode.
May the Force be with you.
Always.